Ask most fans about baseball and steroids, and they'll bring up Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Jose Canseco, or Ken Caminiti. But in an article in the current Sports Illustrated, Tom Verducci writes not only about major leaguers who may have set records or extended their careers with chemical assistance, but about minor leaguers who never made the show, perhaps in part because they elected not to use so-called performance-enhancing drugs. Tom Verducci joins me now. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me.
Your story begins with a discussion of a minor league team in Florida where four pitchers are trying to advance toward the majors. How did you come to focus on the 1994 Fort Myers miracle?
Well, it was really one of those pitchers, Dan Nolte, who made the major leagues, wound up pitching on the 1999 World Championship New York Yankees, who not only admitted his steroid use, but really showed really unprecedented empathy for other players in that he felt like he cheated those players out of their dream of getting to the big leagues. And right away I began to wonder, who are these people? They have names, they have faces, they have stories, and they have dreams. To me, the real story of the steroid era is the hundreds, if not thousands, of ball players who faced that really difficult choice to cheat or not to cheat, and those that played it clean. Often, and that was the case with three of these pitchers on the Fort Myers team, without their dream being realized.
The three pitchers who never made the show are Keith Linebarger, Brett Roberts, and Kevin LeGault. How did they feel about discussing with you the circumstances under which their baseball careers ended?
They were eager to tell their stories. They are used to being so-called anonymous and faceless because they did not get to the major leagues. But at the same time, they felt like they had a worthwhile story to tell. And in some cases, at least in Brett Roberts' case, he openly spoke about feeling bitter and angry and lots of other emotions about finding out later on in life that Dan Nolte had in fact cheated to get his way to the big leagues and leapfrogged him in the Twin system.
I realize that this question calls for speculation, but would any of those three guys who didn't make it have secured work on a major league staff if baseball had been steroid-free?
That's a very good question. And the line to get from AAA, all of them reached AAA, so it wasn't like they were stuck in A-ball their whole careers. There's a very thin line between AAA and the major league. Some of it is luck to be in the right place at the right time. All of them were close enough to the big leagues, really literally one phone call away. It's certainly not outside the realm of possibility to think, yeah, these guys might have gotten to the major leagues, if only for a day or a few days. I don't think anybody wanted to say they were Hall of Famers or All-Stars. But even for a day, I think there was a possibility.
Dan Nolte is the guy who did use steroids and did have a major league career. What were the specific advantages that the performance-enhancing drugs gave him?
Well, in his case, they were really quite obvious. It was someone before he took steroids, weighed 180 pounds, and threw the ball on his best day at 87 miles an hour, and usually between 84 and 86 miles an hour. Well, he wound up growing to become 248 pounds. He added 68 pounds, most of that muscle mass, and his fastball improved to a high of 96 miles an hour, a 10-mile-an-hour gain on his fastball. So as he puts it, there's no way he would have gotten out of A-ball with the stuff that he had clean. But on steroids, he became a pretty good major league pitcher, and as I mentioned, won on a World Championship Yankees team.
You write that Dan Nolte eventually lost interest in baseball, which he had loved, and even in living, he considered suicide several times and thought about jumping off a bridge shortly after his team, the New York Yankees, had won the World Series. Did Dan Nolte feel there was a direct connection between his steroid use and those suicidal thoughts?
Well, not direct. It's somewhat indirect in that he had very misplaced priorities, in his opinion, that he devoted everything to baseball, a game that he really loved as a kid, but really was falling out of love in the game and was playing it only because he really had nothing else in his life. He devoted all of his energies and resources to becoming a major league player. But he found when he won a World Series a complete emptiness to that. And I think the steroids were just part of someone really selling out their character and investing wholly in something that he really didn't love. As he put it, he was tied to a steam train, this dream of getting to the major leagues. And even when the love was gone, had nothing else to get him off of that train. So he did talk about some emotional and psychological effects of steroids. He liked the way that his body looked, but had tremendous mood swings and aggressive behavior at times. But in terms of the suicide, I think it was an indirect connection.
When one of the investigators working for the Mitchell Commission called Dan Nolte in 2007, Nolte said he'd be happy to talk about his steroid use. Most players whose names appeared in the Mitchell report were not nearly so forthcoming. What accounted for Nolte's attitude?
Well, he really had a total transformation personally. When he did decide, I need to get away from baseball, what he really wanted to do and is doing today is to become a pastor. So he devoted himself to the Christian lifestyle as fully as he once did the major league lifestyle. And as part of that, as he said, I really need to be fully transparent. And it's a great scene that he describes. The lawyer for the Mitchell report tried to contact as many as 500 players. They wound up contacting 68 for interviews. And then getting the standard runaround. This is not something, steroids, that players wanted to talk about back in the day and still to this day don't want to talk about. And here on one of these cold calls, someone replies, sure, I'll tell you whatever you want to know. I'm glad to talk about my steroid use. And I'm sure the lawyer did a double take at that, getting that response.
You found that for years, some number of minor league players have used whatever they thought might put them over the top. Do you think that's still the case?
I do. I think clearly now we have speed limits on the highway to get to the major leagues, if you will. It's not the Autobahn anymore. There are speed limits. Chances are you will get caught if you exceed it. But again, we're talking about a job in which the odds are tremendously against the people who are chasing the dream. The players that are drafted, and that doesn't include international free agents, but players drafted, 90% of them will never make it even a day in the major leagues. So with tremendous competition, certainly a pot of gold, if you will, at the end of the rainbow in terms of the money available on the big league level, and very few opportunities that are opening, the competition is tremendous, and guys will try to get an edge in any way that they can. Even to this day, with steroid testing in place, baseball catches between 70 and 80 players on average flunking drug tests during the course of the season. Is that everybody who cheats? We're not sure, but that at least tells you that the competition, the drive, and crossing the line between now what's banned and what's not still goes on.
Tom Verducci's article, To Cheat or Not to Cheat, appears in the current issue of Sports Illustrated. Tom, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals serving global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. And Trader Joe's, traveling the world to source a variety of foods and beverages like pizza from Italy and cheddar from Australia. Locations at TraderJoe's.com. This is NPR.